This is the SearchSecurity.com Threat Monitor Podcast for February 16th, 2012. In these semi-monthly recordings, SearchSecurity.com contributors offer expert advice on the latest information security threats. I'm Brandon Blevins. The following is an excerpt from the book Web Application Security, A Beginner's Guide by Brian Sullivan and Vincent Liu, with permission from McGraw-Hill. This section describes the intricacies of using script code within the framework of a same origin policy. It also details key exceptions to the effectiveness of this procedure. As a note to our listeners, we'll refer to several pieces of script code in this podcast that are available in the full excerpt on searchsecurity.com. And now for this week's edition of Threat Monitor. Exceptions to the same origin policy. Even in the real world, there are ways for applications to make exceptions to the same origin policy. The demand from web application developers to create full-featured, more secure mashups is too great to ignore. Browser manufacturers and browser plugin manufacturers have given them the ability to bypass the same origin policy in certain controlled ways. If you accidentally misuse these bypasses, you can leave your application open to attack and leave your users at risk of losing their private data. Let's discuss a few ways to securely circumvent the same origin policy. HTML script elements. The HTML script element is the most widely used method of cross-origin communication. Just about every page on the internet contains the script tag. Script defines a block of client-side script code, usually written in JavaScript. For example, the script block referred to in the text will pop up an alert box in the user's browser window. Instead of defining a block of script code directly within the script tags, you can also use the script element's SRC attributes to load script code from some other location on the internet. This is where the cross-origin communication comes in. The same origin policy is not enforced for script SRC tags. Any page is free to load and run script from anywhere on the internet. Be extremely cautious when using script SRC in your applications, unless you have complete control over the script that the tag is loading. If you're the owner of site a.cxx, and you're using script SRC to load from the same location on site a.cxx, you're probably okay. But be careful when pointing script SRC at other domains you don't own. Whenever a user visits your page that contains this tag, their browser will automatically download the script code and run it. If the script code is malware, the user will think your page is responsible, even if it is an honest site that would never knowingly host malware. If they get hacked, then so will you, and so will your users. JSON and JSONP. There is one big catch to using script SRC. While you can point a script tag at any site without regard to the same origin policy, it only works if the resource you specify in the SRC attribute is well-formed, valid scripts. If you try to point it at any arbitrary HTML page, your page code will throw an error. You won't be able to view the cross-domain data you tried to retrieve. It must be script, valid script, and only valid script. In the early 2000s, Douglas Crockford, currently a software architect at Yahoo, realized that it would be possible to create a data format that would also be valid JavaScript code. He called this format JSON, short for JavaScript Object Notation. If you wanted to create a JSON object to represent a music album, it might look something like the script code referred to in the text. Many web services now use JSON as their data format because it is generally more compact and human-readable. JSON objects are also valid JavaScript objects and are easy to work with from JavaScript code. However, web services send data as strings, not native JavaScript objects. If you get a string of JSON from a web service, maybe as the result of an IX call, you'll need to convert it into an object before you can work with it. There are several ways to do this, but only one of them is really safe. One popular but insecure way is to use the JavaScript function eval to evaluate the JSON string and create an object from it, as per the example in the text. This is dangerous unless you have complete control over the JSON string being evaled. If an attacker has any way to add or change items in the JSON, he could potentially add malware to it. The user's browser would then execute when it evals the JSON. A better alternative to eval is the native JavaScript function json.parse, which is much more secure and won't execute malicious scripts.
The world of information security is always changing, so it's essential to stay current on expert research. That's why SearchSecurity.com has an extensive video library filled with expert interviews on subjects ranging from the newest malware threats to the finer points of PCI DSS compliance to our exclusive face-off debates between some of information security's biggest names. And we're adding new videos all the time. Check out the video library today at SearchSecurity.com/video. That's SearchSecurity.com/video.
At this point, you might be wondering why you have to parse JSON and why you can't just use script SRC to fetch JSON data directly. After all, JSON is valid script code, so script SRC should be able to work with it. Actually, you can do this, but there are some reasons you might not want to. First, using script SRC is essentially the same thing as calling eval. So unless you can completely trust the source you're pulling data from, you could be putting yourself at risk. Second, unless the site serving the JSON supports a callback mechanism called JSONP, you won't be able to do anything with the return data. And third, even if they do, it's still somewhat dangerous to use. There is a reason why you wouldn't be able to do anything with straight JSON if you try to get it with script SRC. While JSON is a valid JavaScript object, it's just that, an object. It doesn't have a name or any other way to access it in the script. Because the script has no other references to the new JSON object, it's likely to just be immediately deleted by the script engine. Application developers sometimes work around this problem by using a variation of JSON called JSONP, short for JSON with padding. With JSONP, the data is wrapped in a JavaScript function call that's usually specified by the client requesting the data. For example, if you make a request to a music catalog web service and specify that you want the return data wrapped in the function DisplayAlbumInfo, the JSON you get back might look something like the script code in the text version. Now just implement a DisplayAlbumInfo function in your script code. When you point a script SRC tag at the JSONP returning music service, your DisplayAlbumInfo callback function will automatically execute. You can do whatever you want with the returned JSONP data. Just as in our previous discussion of JSON and eval, you have to trust the JSONP source not to return malicious script code to you. But there's also another reason you might want to avoid JSONP. Let's switch places for a minute. Say that you're the one who's actually serving the JSONP data instead of the one who's requesting it. You already know that the same origin policy doesn't apply to JSONP. That's why you're using it in the first place. But without the protection of the same origin policy, there's nothing to keep an attacker from getting the data either. If you're not clear on how an attack like this would work, more details are provided later in this chapter of the book. For now, just keep in mind that we recommend against serving data in JSONP form, except when that data is completely public and can be safely viewed by anybody. That concludes this week's edition of SearchSecurity.com's Threat Monitor podcast. You can also download more of our podcasts by visiting searchsecurity.com/podcast. Until next time, I'm Brandon Blevins. Have a great day.